Hey everyone, welcome to today's podcast. This is Marianne and thank you so much for tuning in. As always, it's a pleasure to, you know, speak to you, to come speak to you through this podcast. And I do want to believe that walking through the journey with me, that you're finding value and that you're finding a sense of purpose and that you're discovering who you are. You know, I came to realize that we are our own worst enemies. A lot of times, we really talk ourselves out of God's best for our lives. We have all these reasons why we think we can't be everything that we've been called to do. And I know I've discussed this in an early podcast about the some of the reasons why we're not able to accomplish and to be everything that God has called us to be. And I discussed talking ourselves out of God's will being one of the reasons. And I feel again as though I want to reiterate that point once more. I want to talk about it again. I want to re-emphasize it. And I want to really confront this, let me call it menace, straight in the eye. And I'd like to say, you know what? This whole thing of feeling as if you need to be perfect before you can do something is a great, great detractor. It's one of the reasons why a lot of people are not doing the very things they want to do. In their hearts, they know that they are called for bigger, they are called for better. In their hearts, they desire, they yearn for something bigger. They want to accomplish really amazing, awesome things. They can even draw for you a mind picture of the people they know they are supposed to be. They can explain to you in detail the people they believe they are called to be. They'll tell you, you know what, I'm supposed to be doing this. I'd like to be doing this. I'd like to be writing. I'd like to be working with the children. I'd like to be teaching the word. I'd like to be in a Bible school. I'd like to volunteer more at a children's home or at the elderly people's houses. Or I'd like to visit the sick, or I'd like to feed the poor, or I'd like to clothe the hungry. But they don't. They are not doing all those things. Why? Because some of them have convinced themselves that they need to get to a certain point in life before they can begin to do these things. They feel as though there are a lot of things, or there are so many circumstances that are stopping them from being. And what I'm saying is, they are talking themselves out of the very thing that would bring them intense joy, so much fulfillment, so much gratitude. It would the very thing that would give them a sense of belonging and a sense of purpose is the very thing that they are talking themselves out of. Someone is thinking, I don't have enough money to do ABCD. I don't have enough money to join, let's give an example, Bible school, or to do a master's, or even to do my first degree. I don't have enough money. I don't have the time, others will argue, to visit with the elderly or, you know, the children, or whatever it is that you'd want to engage in. You just feel as though, one, you don't have the time, number two, you don't have the money. And those are the two major excuses that we constantly bring into the fore on why we cannot be doing what we ought to be doing. We constantly second-guessing ourselves. We are constantly looking at ourselves in the mirror and saying, no, I can't do this. No, I'm not good enough to do this. I need more experience. I need more support. I need a stronger support system. We are always bringing one excuse after another. And I know previously I've given examples and I've used the Bible references and have said, look at these people who came to God with a bucket full of excuses. I mean, it could have been a whole PowerPoint presentations with diagrams and pie charts and all that, you know. People coming and saying, you know what, I can't do this. I cannot. It's so easy to say, I cannot. Why are we so intimidated by the greatness that is within us? And that's a question that we should really ask. Why are we so intimidated by the greatness that resonates within us? Why are we so afraid to confront the giant that is us? Why are we constantly beating ourselves down? And I'm going to tell you something. Most of the time, you're not even doing it aware. I mean, you really don't want to beat yourself down. You don't want to not believe in yourself. You're not trying to, you know, second guess. I mean, that's not something you do intentionally. But then we have to remember something. We have to remember that we have an enemy that we're constantly fighting with. And that the enemy doesn't fight fair. And that the enemy doesn't fight us to injurious, you know, like, oh well, let her get an ankle, a bad ankle, so that she's indisposed for a few days. No, the enemy fights us to destroy us, to annihilate us, completely, totally wipe us out. That is his role, that's his purpose, that's all he's after. And so you have to realize that you have an enemy. You have an enemy that is out to destroy you. And every time you're hearing these voices, every time you're having these thoughts in your mind, you need to capture those thoughts and you need to grasp and understand that that is not you. Those are arrows that have been thrown your way to your mind. And they come in a way of, oh, I don't think, I cannot, I, it's always about I lack the capacity, I lack the motivation, I lack the support system, you know, all those I. Because that's how the enemy will come. He will come with those thoughts of, you know, really, you think you can? Just like he came to Eve, did God really say? He's not stopped even now. Can you imagine? He's not stopped, but now he's not coming and asking us, did God really say that you could be an economist? Or you could have an idea that could take care of the food security in Africa, not just in Kenya, in Africa. He might not ask you, did God really say that? He might not ask you that, but he comes in other more subtle ways. And it will be through your imagination. It will be through your mind. And you'll begin to think, oh my goodness, what am I thinking? Why would I even imagine that I can do that? Other people, scientists, have tried and they failed. What makes me think that I can do it? What makes me think that I can achieve it? But that's a lie, you know. That's a lie from the enemy. And you need to begin to see the lies from the truth. Because you see, I like to make my references in the Bible. And you see, the Bible talks about holding captive every thought. Yeah, I'm just pausing because I need you to realize that we have to hold captive every thought. Because you see, these thoughts are not just something, they don't just come by happenstance, no. And I'd like to read from the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. I mean, this is a chapter that talks about, if you read verse 4, it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then verse 5 says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge or disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. But the key verse is verse 5. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I mean, that's such a mouthful just speaking it. But more than just being a mouthful or an earful to you, this is a verse that's so rich. First of all, we're exhorted to cast down imagination and every high thing that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. Against the knowledge of God. So what does that mean? That there will be imagination, there will be thoughts that will try to come to exalt themselves. Against the knowledge of God, against what you know God to be, against who you perceive God to be. There will be thoughts that will come to try to talk you out of your path, your purpose. There will be voices that will translate to thoughts that will try to show you the impossibility of the task ahead and how you're going to fail at it because you're not good enough to do it. But I love, look at the second part of this verse 5. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity. You see, the fact that you're bringing it into captivity means you've already held it at ransom. It's your prisoner. Thoughts become your prisoners. They are not in charge. You are in charge. And therefore, your mind, what you think, what you imagine, is really over your control. Did I say it right? You're in charge. That's what this means, in other words, that you are in charge. You're in charge of your thoughts. You're in charge of your imagination. You're in charge. You're the person that's in charge. And if there's a thought that's trying to show you what you cannot achieve, it's not because it's true. It's because you have not taken charge of that thought. If you're struggling with your mind and you're struggling with all these thoughts and you're constantly talking yourself down and talking yourself out of things you know you ought to be doing by now, the problem is not that the opportunity has not been right. The problem is not that you don't have a great support system. The problem is that you've not taken that thought captive. You've not taken captive every thought, because see, every thought must align itself and must obey Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible even says that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So now look at it this way. What is that thought that's been holding you back? What's that imagination that makes you cringe and worry? What is it? You need to put it side by side and judge it by the word of God, because what's the word of God saying about that very thought that you're having? Those very thoughts that you're struggling with, maybe it's an addiction and you're thinking you can never really get over this. You're thinking, oh, well, you know what? I don't ever think that I'll ever be able to overcome this addiction. You see, we've been given a spirit of power, of might, and of love. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And the word power there means dunamis, meaning the power. You know, dunamis is the force. It's the power that is displayed. That's dunamis, which is different from exousia, which exousia would ordinarily mean authority. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of showing authority in the sense that something is strong and it's powerful and it overcomes the lesser. That's the best example or the best illustration I'd give of dunamis, because it's power, like one power overpowering a lesser power, you know, something like that. I hope you get the drift. That's a spirit we've been given. So that means that we should do everything with so much boldness and with so much courage and with so much confidence and with the assurance that God that called us is faithful to accomplish every good and beautiful thing that He's called us into. And you know, we need to get to a point where we stop listening to every person's opinion, and at the same time we stop asking for opinions from every person, because that's another thing that is constantly holding us back and derailing us. Because so many of us, we hear from God, we have these things in our spirits and in our hearts. Well, what do? The first thing we do is we run to people and we ask them, hey, what do you think about this? You know, I God is speaking to me. You know, God is telling me ABC. But what do you think about it? But honestly, what would you expect another human being to tell you? Most of them, they'll tell you, that really sounds like it's way over there. I mean, you really got it over your mind on this. You really got it in. You got it in over your head this time. And they'll try to give you the opinion on why what you want to do cannot be done, why it cannot succeed, why it's impossible. And you'll sit there and you will listen. And at the end of the day, you will rise, go back to your house or go back to your space, feeling so discouraged and feeling as though God has forgotten all about you and wondering why God would call you and cause you to get on a wild goose chase, you know. But that wasn't really the will of God. God has spoken to you, and God has, through His many ways, He's spoken to your spirit, and He has shown you, and He has told you, and He has, you know, revealed to you His blueprint. But then you've gone and you've sought the opinion of another human being. And you know, our minds and God's mind, really, they can never be the same. Because you see, when God calls us to do things that He's called us into, they do not always make sense at the point when you're doing them. They never make sense at the beginning. Sometimes it's really, really all about obedience. And many times you could ask any person that's been doing the very thing they believe they've been called into, and you could ask them how they began, and they'll tell you that they didn't even know that they would be at the point where they are right now. That they began and they didn't have the full picture of what they were doing. They were just walking a step at a time, and as they walked there, the path would get brighter and the vision would become more clearer. But they kept walking. And now they're at a point where they can be able to, you know, speak and talk about the vision. They can be able to articulate it very clearly. But it was not always like that when they started. There were days when they were stumbling and fumbling and they're wondering whether they're doing the right thing, but they kept at it. So see, consistency is key. You have got to be consistent. You have got to begin, first of all, you have got to begin. Start with the baby steps. You got to start there. You might fall, you will fall, but you know what? With every fall, remember you always rise up stronger. There are so many things that at a personal level I've wanted to do, and the attempts, and I've felt like, oh gosh, I think I've fallen. But then I've been encouraged and reminded that every time I fall, I need to rise up and I need to keep pursuing. I might not have the answer for everything that I'm doing. I might not even have the full picture yet. But you know what? I just purpose to go ahead and do what I believe I need to be doing. And this time, in this season, I just believe that I need to be doing this podcast in this time and in this season. I'd really love to sit here and tell you that there is a vision that in 5 years it's going to be this and that and all that. But honestly, I don't have an idea. I am hopeful that we're going to grow. I am optimistic for that. By the grace of God, we will be a blessing to many people. But you know, at this point, that is the best I can do. That is really the best that I can do. Hope, believe, and trust. I trust that these messages will reach the right people. I have hope that there's a word of God that is changing and imparting people's lives. I just believe that one day we will morph into something else. You know, I don't have the full picture, but all I know is that this ought to be happening in this time and in this season. So hey, what am I saying? I'm saying today, I am saying that you need to get up. You need to stop talking yourself out of that thing that you ought to be doing. You know it yourself. You know it so well. Just like you know your second name, you know what you ought to be doing. But you've been talking yourself out of it. I came here to tell you today, stop talking yourself out of God's best for your life. It might seem daunting at first. I know. It's like you're climbing a hill or mountain. But then again, remember this. Everything is always difficult before you start. But the minute you begin to do that thing, as you start, as you begin, it gets easier and easier. And I leave you with this scripture from Zechariah, which I love. I mean, it's a beautiful scripture. It's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I repeat again, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So remember that whenever you're doubting yourself, when this doubt creeps in, when you get these thoughts, remember, you're not doing it by your power. You're not doing it by your might. You're doing it by the Spirit of God. Remember that every thought that comes to you, you are in charge. The thoughts are not in charge. Filter the thoughts. Bring them into the obedience of Christ. And remember, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one single step. You have got to take the first step. You have to take the first step. You have to make that phone call. You have to register for that course. You have to get to the studio and sing the song. You have to sit and write that book. You just have to. You have to drive and go to the place that you need to go to, even if it means that you need to go and reconcile with people that you had fallen off with. If it means you need to go back to your parents and ask forgiveness. If it means that you need to go to, you know, probably visit your children or visit a loved one. You know very well the thing that you've been postponing, you've been procrastinating. You've been feeling like, I can do that. I'm going to do that tomorrow. Your tomorrow is not guaranteed. Today's, you have today. Your today, your right now, that is what is guaranteed. So why don't you put all excuses aside? Join the gym. You've been talking about working out. Begin somewhere. Okay, begin by walking then. You may not be able to joke. Begin by walking. What I'm trying to say here is, start. You have got to start. You have got to start. No excuses, no procrastinating. Just start. Don't talk yourself out of the best thing that could ever have happened to you. Wow. Amen. Glory to God. Always a delight to do this with you. I look forward to hearing from you. I look forward to meeting up with some one day and just hearing, you know, I did it. I stopped procrastinating and I did the very thing that I was avoiding. That would be a great testimony. I'd be delighted to hear something like that. But until then, I just want you to know that you're amazing, you're great, you're called out to soar like an eagle, and you're called out for greatness. I love you. Jesus loves you even more. Keep shining. Keep winning. Thank you so much for listening in today. And this is Marianne. And thank you once more for tuning into today's podcast. God bless you. Have an amazing, amazing time. And see you at the top. Bye-bye.